A young girl went out for a walk. It was fairly early in the morning, and she had an errand to run. And as she was walking along, her thoughts went from one point to another. She was thinking about what she had to do. She was thinking about school. She was thinking about maybe some of the boys that were in her life. A lot of things were going through her mind. As she was walking along, all of a sudden she tripped and she fell into a ditch. It was a deep ditch. It was dirty. It was dusty. There were weeds growing in it. She was now, her clothing, clean clothes were all dirty. She said, "How clumsy can I be?" And at that moment, the whole world changed. Well, you see, it was 8:15 in the morning. The date was August 6, 1945. The place, Hiroshima, Japan. She fell into this ditch, and because she fell into that ditch, her life was spared. Her son told me that story. Was it by chance? Happenstance? Was there a purpose in what happened? I ask the same question today. Is our health by chance or by choice? Many years later, another part of the world, there was a young family, young mother, three children, her husband. They were poor. They were farmers. Not much in the world. One of their neighbors moved to the United States, over to Glendale, not too far away. And as she was there, she learned about the good news. She studied God's word, became interested in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She was baptized. And like any good Seventh-day Adventist, she wanted to share the good news. So she wrote back to her friends, another part of the world, and told them about the good news. Told them they should start studying as well, which they did. And over a period of time, they became interested in God's word. They found a small Seventh-day Adventist church meeting in a home. And so they started attending. They started to study. And they decided to become baptized, be part of God's remnant church. The big day came. And that mother went out, and I think like a lot of mothers do, she bought new clothes, new dress, new shoes. This was a very special day in her life. And so the day came, and they walked to the lake where they were having the baptism. They were baptized. And in the process of coming back, she developed a little blister on her foot. There were farmers, think nothing of it. Take care of it, it'll go away. That didn't happen. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. But she thought it would go away, this young mother did. But it didn't. By the time she went to the doctor, she was diagnosed with tetanus. And a few days later, she lost her life for lockjaw. The three children, ages 13, 11, 9, were with their father to help him. This lady over in Glendale shared this sad news with her church members. They gathered around. They brought clothes to help this poor family. They sent them over. And in a period of a couple years, she wrote a letter saying, "Would these children like to come to the United States?" Of course, they were all excited. To make a long story short, that's what happened. They came over. Their father said, "Do you really want to go?" They said, "Yes, we do." And that was the last time they saw their father. They came over to the United States. The youngest of the three children lives in Phoenix. The middle child lives in Hinsdale. And the oldest lives in Sleepy Valley. My wife. Was this by chance happenstance? Was there a purpose in what took place? And I ask the question again. Is our health by chance or by choice? Well, what are some of the reasons that we should be healthy? And if you open your Bibles to our scripture, which was in the flap of the bulletin, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. I'd like to read this. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." So our first reason is to glorify God. We are not our own. Over another part, 1 John, 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. There's only one chapter, so it's easy to find. This is for Jude in Revelation. 3 John, chapter 1, verses 2. And here we read again, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." And then over to Romans. Is the familiar one, Romans 12, verses 1. Romans 12, verses 1, verse 1. "Okay, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." I remember in some of the classes, health classes I used to conduct, especially the 5-day plan to stop smoking, one of the questions I would ask the class, I try to get them to kick the smoking habit, and I would ask them, "Would you smoke in a church?" What do you think their answer would be? "Of course not, I wouldn't do it." Why? Why wouldn't you smoke in a church? "Well, it's sacred, it's holy." I say, "Aren't you more important than stone and wood and brick?" And it's something they never thought of before, that this body of ours is not our own. We are bought with a price. You are precious, each one. Your body is the temple of God, and we need to take good care of it. So one reason to take care, be in good health, is to glorify God. I think another reason is for those that love us. My life belongs to those who love me, my spouse, my children, my friends. And as we learned Sunday at the health seminar, the mother and father's health, long before conception, can influence that child, even for a lifetime. Wow. So it's for those who love us. I think we'd also want to have good health for ourselves. Some of the research that has been done says that a good, healthy lifestyle shortens the time of our disability. Most people have a period of time of poor health at the end of their life. And what they found was, this helps us to live a higher quality of life to the very end. I think it's also to feel good. Isn't it nice to get up in the morning and be invigorated and to have that feeling of good health? We also want to have the ability to work and function at our best. And, very importantly, this ties into the first one, the ability to let God communicate with us, through us, with a clear mind. And so health does all these things. Well, there's a health crisis in our country today. Anyone disagree with that? We see it in the magazines, we see it in the newspaper. It's front page almost every day. We have an epidemic of sickness, of chronic disease. Life expectancy in the United States today is nearly 78, which is just a slight drop from the previous year that they found this. Unfortunately, the U.S. lagged behind 30 other countries in the world in longevity. Anybody want to guess who has the longest? Japan has the longest. at 83 years for those children that were born in 2007. In the United States, 3/4 of all the money that is spent on health care is spent on chronic disease, and almost entirely the result of decades of unhealthy living. And most of this is preventable. You know, we used to eat to live. Now we live to eat. Okay, things have changed. And you've heard of the 4 food groups? Fast food, frozen food, instant, and chocolate. Let me give some examples of some of the chronic diseases that we see in our country today. One of these is obesity. Interesting, in 1976, 45% of Americans were overweight or obese. 1 in almost every 2. Guess what it is today? 67%. Probably a little bit higher, because this was 2004. So I would say that's probably gone up 2 or 3 percentage points since then. So close to 70%. 2 out of 3 Americans are overweight or obese. 1/3 of our expenditures for medical expenses are related to obesity. No one's forced to consume unhealthy food. It's a free choice. Dr. Walt Larimore, he's a family physician, and was on the Family Life Today program January 4, 2007, and shared the story of one of his former patients, or family patients. He also has written a book called Supersized Kids, How to Rescue Your Child from the Obesity Threat. And he practices at Florida Hospital in Orlando. And he relates this story. He saw a baby girl, 3 years old. The baby had a bottle filled with soda. Coca-Cola. In fact, he said in surveys, the most commonly consumed vegetable for children between the ages of 19 and 24 months is, can you guess? Ketchup? No. Any guesses? Carrot juice? French fries. French fries. This is 19 to 24 months old. Anyhow, this 3-year-old girl was so rotund, so overweight, she barely squeezed into the stroller. The mother was obese, the whole family was obese. The doctor talked to the mother how serious a condition this was, that some dramatic intervention needed to take place. But the family chose not to do anything. She developed diabetes at 8 years of age. She developed high blood pressure when she was 10. She had heart disease at 12 and had multiple hospitalizations. The dad was an absent father, busy at work, traveling. But when he did see her, he told her how fat she was, how ugly she was. She was bullied, suffered severe depressions. At 14 years old, she was hospitalized in the intensive care unit, ended up in a coma, and died during that stay, a direct result of her obesity. Little brother was following in the same track as her sister. Finally, the family decided that they needed to make some very simple changes, which they did, and the boy actually grew out of his obesity. Change is possible in small, simple steps. Not big steps, but the change can be life-saving. Hospitals today have had to refit the hospitals with new beds, wheelchairs, stretchers, and that they're wheeled on just because of obesity. And obesity affects the individual's physical, emotional, social, and even spiritual health. Well, that's one chronic disease we see in the United States today. Another is diabetes. 1 in 10 people in California have type 2 diabetes. The lifetime risk of diabetes in children born in 2000, if you are white, the risk is 35% of 1 in 3. If you are black, 43%. If you're Hispanic, 49%. 1 out of every 2. And then we have cancer. And of course we think of smoking. Back in the late 1800s, when doctors prescribed inhaling tobacco smoke, for people with diseased lungs. We have his counsel from the Ministry of Healing. Tobacco is a slow, insidious, but most malignant poison. And today we know that even secondhand smoke is a major health issue today. I went back to where I used to live a few weeks ago, and there was a lady down in the street, Lorraine, heavy smoker. And when I talked to one of my neighbors, I said, "How's the neighborhood doing?" She said, "Well, Lorraine's no longer with us. She's probably a little bit younger than myself, smoking." 40% of all cancers are caused by three things: typical American diet, lack of exercise, and obesity. Almost all preventable. So, who's at fault? Who's to blame? Now, we like to put blame on people, right? Well, advertising. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you can diet. We have beautiful, thin, young models gracing the magazines. Ads are for rich, fat, and sugary foods. Have you ever noticed that they jump right off the page or right off the screen into your mouth? There's a new diet. There's a grapefruit diet, cottage cheese diet, ice cream diet. Every week, there's a new one. And a different kind of diet. My advice is, stay on your diet, and you'll win a Nobel Prize. Unfortunately, most diets really don't work. But advertising spends millions of dollars on just one brand. Does it work? Well, I'm going to give you a little quiz today. Kids, this is for you too, because you can help me. I'm going to read a statement, and I'm going to put in the word blank, where the real word should be, and then I'm going to read it a second time, and I want you to tell me what that is, okay? Let's try one I think that you know. You deserve a break today at blank. Okay, let's try this. You deserve a break today at?
McDonald's.
Very good, okay? Let's try another one. Blank does a body good. Milk does a body good. Okay, very good. Oh, here's another one. Finger licking blank. Finger licking good. Okay. Bet you can't eat just blank. What? Okay. Breakfast of champions. What melts in your mouth and not in your hands? M&M's. Mm-hmm. Snap, crackle, pop. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you do. It works, doesn't it? I won't have you pass it in and we'll break you. Advertising works. We remember these little jingles. And probably some of you remember some that you had when you were a child. So we blame advertising. Then there's fast foods. High in fat, high in sugar, and salt. And this is what we're exporting to the world. You can see the golden arches all over now, plus a lot of others. And then we can also say that we eat out a lot more. We used to prepare food from scratch, right? I don't remember as a child going out at a very special occasion when we turned 12 or some special time we went out to eat. Otherwise, everything was made in the house. Well, now we're too busy. It takes too much time. However, you don't know what's in the food that you're eating out there. Maybe good, but you don't know what's there. And then the serving sizes, have you noticed? They're getting bigger, bigger. The plates get bigger and larger. And you know, and I like to fill up my plate, don't you? And I also have to eat everything, don't you? You know, remember the children in India and Africa and China who were starving? That stays with us all our life. Eating processed, rich, tasty, convenience foods. You buy it, throw it in the oven, take it out, and you eat it. And I might add, I put in veggie foods in this category. They're processed, they're a convenience food, but they may not be any better than a lot of other foods that are out there. So we should be just as careful with these types of foods. They call them health foods, I'm not sure. Then there's special occasions that we can blame, right? Weddings, baby showers, birthdays, funerals. When you go visit someone else, someone else's house? Do they put out carrots and celery for you to eat? No. Usually cake, cookies, something along that line. And then we can blame the schools. You know, they serve snacks, sugar, drinks, high cheese, high fat foods. And so a lot of the children have these kinds of foods day in and day out. And we also blame our parents. You know, they set an example for us to follow. Like that family we just talked about. Did the kids have much of a choice? Who controlled what they ate? The parents did. What a responsibility. Who else can we blame? Well, I can also blame myself. The choices that I make each day really add up over a lifetime. Well, what's the cure? Well, when we talk about medical care, when you get sick, you go to the doctor and hope that he's going to prescribe something that will take care of whatever you have real fast. I have a friend who takes a pill when she gets a headache, takes a pill when she eats dairy products to prevent gas, takes a pill when she has pain to reduce her cholesterol, for allergies, when she thinks she's getting sick. She probably has a pharmacy in her house. Acute medical care in the United States is second to none in the world. If I get sick, I want to be here when that happens. We reduce the killer infectious diseases through vaccinations, through sanitation. Lifespan has increased, oh, 5-6 years since the early 1900s due to this one point alone. But unfortunately, we get a failing grade when it comes to chronic diseases. Many people want to continue to live the way they've been living, the easy way. And when something happens, going to get it fixed right now. Well, you get a new heart, you get whatever else you can, and it's expensive. We spend in the United States $5,000 to $6,000 per person every year, the highest cost per person in the world. Well, the answer really comes down to lifestyle change. And as I was thinking this morning, I woke up early, telling the pastor. And an example came to me of what happened with the Israelites. They came out of slavery, remember? And what happened? Did God provide for their needs? Absolutely. He gave them the perfect food. What was that food? Manna. They could go out and pick manna. Now, can you imagine having manna for breakfast? Manna for lunch? Manna for dinner? Day after day, year after year, would you get tired of it? Well, some of them did. And if you turn to Numbers, chapter 11, we read what happened. Numbers, near the beginning of the Bible, talks about what took place. And it's an interesting description here. Numbers 11, we'll start with verse 4, 5, and 6, and then go to the end of the chapter. It says, the rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember all the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. They actually became close to vegetarian. Almost immediately when they left Egypt, God provided them this wonderful food. And so they went from a high-fat, very tasty diet to a very simple diet. And here they were complaining. Well, did God answer their request? And what were the results? Well, he sent quail. Lots of quail. It says 2 cubits deep. When they went out beyond the camp about a day's walk. And verse 34, second part of that, because they buried the people who had been greedy. I like the word greedy there. What an example. They weren't satisfied in what was simple. So it's not easy. It's difficult. Lifestyle change even for the Israelites took some time. Why is lifestyle change not at the forefront? We kind of hear little things now and then. Well, first of all, there's no money in lifestyle change. Compare that with bypass surgery, angiograms, stents, transplants, medications. There's money in that. is really no money in lifestyle change. It takes patient effort. It's not easy. And what's happening is I'm taking responsibility for my own health. It's not the doctor's responsibility. It's not my wife's, not anybody else. It's my responsibility. It's not high tech. It's too simple. You know, we like to have all these tests. But lifestyle change is not high tech, very simple. It lacks physician control. Physician likes to be in charge. We like to say, tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. But it's more my responsibility, the choices that I make. Well, as Seventh-day Adventists, we do have a health advantage. And if you take a look at out on the bulletin board, there's an article that was in the U.S. News and World Report. October. This is still October, so it's very, very current. And it says, 10 tips for living to 100. Did you any of you see that? It's interesting. Take a look. But here they are. First one is don't retire. Floss every day. Move around. In other words, exercise. Eat a fiber-rich cereal for breakfast. Get at least 6 hours of shut-eye at night. Consume whole foods, not supplements. Be net less neurotic. Be a creature of habit. And number 10 was stay connected. Number 9, live like a Seventh-day Adventist. Wow. This is members of the denomination have an average life expectancy of 89, about a decade longer than the average American. One of the basic tenets of the religion is that it's important to cherish the body that's on loan from God, which means no smoking, alcohol, overindulging in sweets. Followers typically stick to a vegetarian diet based on fruits, vegetables, beans, and nuts and get plenty of exercise. They're also very focused on family and community. Wow. Isn't that nice? The results could even be better. We've run some CHIP programs, the PIN that I have, Ordinary Health Improvement Project, and with us, some simple lifestyle changes, we see some dramatic changes in just 30 days. CHIPers lose 5 to 7 pounds of weight, they lower their blood pressure, their cholesterol, their blood sugar, they reduce their need of medicine in just 30 days. Some of the Adventists have been in about 250 different studies and are shown to have less heart disease, cancer, fewer hospitalizations, surgeries and prescriptions, less obesity, osteoporosis, and many other diseases. If they experience these diseases, it's usually 10 years later than the average Westerner. And I ask the question, is it by chance or is it by choice? Is it happenstance or providential that we have the health principles that we do? Well, if you go back in our history, in the mid-1800s, little was known about health causes and disease prevention. Bloodletting and leeches to lower fevers was a very common practice. Drugging with poisonous pills and preparations like arsenic and mercury was standard medical practice. I'm glad I didn't live back there and get sick. But Seventh-day Adventists chose to follow biblical health principles, as well as the inspired counsels of a godly woman named Ellen White. Though written over a century ago, her teachings on healthful living are still valid today. One example we already talked about is tobacco. Back in 1850, Ellen White warned that tobacco is a poison, causing cancer, heart disease, and many other health problems. Yet into the late 1950s, the American Medical Association advocated that tobacco's benefits outweighed its harms. 1950s, they were still encouraging the use of tobacco. These are our physicians, the people that we trust. Well, what brings health benefits to the Adventist people? Certainly not chance, but choice. As I said, the statistics are great, but could even be greater. The closer we live by the council, the longer and healthier we live. It was a German study that was published August 10, 2009, so only not too long ago. And this was a German study of 4 health habits that, when followed, would reduce chronic disease by 78%. Wow. Four simple health habits. Here they are. Never smoking. Having a body mass index, a BMI, which is a height-related ratio, less than 30, the cutoff point for obesity. 3.5 hours of exercise per week, and following a healthy diet, low in red meat and high in fruits and vegetables. That was it. Four simple health practices. What they found was only 9%, this was done in Germany, only 9% of 23,000 people followed all four. Back in 1965, Dr. Lester Breslow did a study up in Alameda County, where that is up in Northern California. And he looked at 7 simple health habits, and he found that those that practiced these 7 simple health practices lived 11 years longer than those that didn't. Well, here's a few more. Eating breakfast, no snacking, eat moderately to maintain ideal weight, not smoking, you see there's a lot of overlap here, moderate to no use of alcohol, exercise, rest, and they added an 8th one, happiness. They found that your attitude also plays a part in health. I'm not going to ask you, but how do you rate with these? And if we summarize the major protective elements of the Adventist lifestyle, eat a plant-based diet, include fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds. Eat foods as grown. You'll get filled up with lower caloric intake than commercially prepared foods. Get plenty of exercise. Drink 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. Abstain from alcohol, caffeine, illicit drugs. Don't smoke, maintain a healthy weight, get adequate rest and sunlight, trust in divine power, an optimistic, positive attitude boosts the immune system, our body's defense against disease. And then, just want to share a couple basic principles that from the Ministry of Healing, if you don't have this, I sure recommend it. And Ellen White says, it's far better to prevent disease than to know how to treat it when contracted. And I think in the United States today, we put more emphasis, reverse that, than we do on the prevention. And so it's our responsibility to study, how can I prevent disease? We cannot be too often reminded that health does not depend on chance. It is the result of obedience to law. Whatever injures the health not only lessens physical vigor, but tends to weaken the mental and moral powers. Indulgence in any unhealthful practice makes it more difficult for one to discriminate between right and wrong, and hence more difficult to resist evil. And a couple of the short ones. The body is the only medium through which the mind and the soul are developed for the upbuilding of character. Hence it is that the adversary of souls directs his temptations for the enfeebling and degrading of the physical powers. And finally, not until the life of Christ becomes a vitalizing power in our lives can we resist the temptations that assail us from within and from without. So in conclusion, as we say, our health depends on the choices that we make every day. Our spiritual health also depends on the choices that we make each day. We must look at the big picture. You know, we don't need, as someone said, potluck police. That's legalism. The health message is like the right arm. We can live without it, be very difficult, but we can. But what is the head of the body? Jesus Christ is the head. The health message does not save us. Christ saves us. Don't you agree? We must be born again. We must let Jesus Christ fill our life. Transformation will take place and things will fall into place. So we need to say, what's important? It's important to drink 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. Life is more important to love, be kind, and forgive. It's important not to eat pork. But it's more important to love, be kind, and forgive. The kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace. And if we You open your Bibles to Romans 14, verse 17, like this, and it reinforces this whole concept. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We've been given wonderful instruction that when followed makes us healthier. It is our choice. Good health enables us to be more and more effective partner with Christ to help seek and save the lost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've blessed us with a wonderful message of health. But help us to keep in mind that Jesus needs to be the center of all that we say and do. That we are to love those around us, to be kind and forgive. May we take this to heart, put into practice what we know is true, and we long to see in the clouds of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.